the supernatural church. And this is fact 4. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And we are looking at this from a point of view that we are trying to understand, amen, how the church is, how we should function, who is in the church, what happens in church, what do I do in church? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Remember, the Bible says, I will build my church. I will do what?
Build.
So who owns the church?
The Lord.
Hey, who owns the church?
The Lord.
I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, who will build his church? Jesus. Jesus, by the death and his resurrection, has his church been built? Has his church been built? Amen. Praise God. By the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church has been built. When you believe the gospel, you became a member of that global church. Praise God.
Amen.
Church, praise God.
Amen.
And we said that the church is the will of God. So we must know how we are to do in church. Let's go on quickly. We are in Acts chapter 2 today. Acts chapter 2. We want to read quickly. I'm showing you that if you play your part from scriptures, you'll be doing well. Look at Acts 2. Look at verse 42. Acts 2, 42. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Acts 2, 42. I want everyone to be there. Simple things we're going to pick up today, but I want you to be there. Are you there? Acts 2, 42. You need to be picked up, please. Acts 2, 42. Are you there now?
Yes.
Yeah. Alright? So I'll read from verse 41. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day was added unto them. How many souls? Church. How many souls?
3,000.
3,000 was added unto the church. How many souls?
3,000.
So this should be 3,000 people who did not particularly know anything about church.
Yeah.
But they are now in church.
Yeah.
But we are going to follow what they did. And when we follow what they did and do what they did, we will see what they saw. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 42. And they, how much did they? And they continued how? Church. And after I get saved, what am I to do? Continue steadfastly. Continue what?
Steadfastly.
So that word steadfastly would be the word in the original diligently. Passionately, in fact, in the original root word, earnestly. Another word, devoted. So they were devoted to something. How many people know what the meaning of a devotion? Something you are paying attention to, you are attending to, you are communing. Amen. So there was a devotion. Amen. There was a what? There was a what? A devotion. And in this devotion that we are talking about, it is devotion unto something. They were devoted unto what is there? The apostles. When I get saved, what is the first step I'm supposed to take? When I get saved, what is the step I am supposed to take? I am to be?
Hey,
I am to be? Devoted to the apostles.
Doctrine.
I get saved. The first thing I did, I'm to be what? Devoted. So it is something you are paying attention. You are actually giving yourself to. What are you doing? You are giving yourself to the apostles' doctrine. What is, what is doctrine? Doctrine is just teaching. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
You are paying attention to the apostles' teachings. What did that bring to them? So, okay, let's start off from here. So that is applicable. What am I to do as a believer now that I'm saved? I do what? Pay attention to the teachings. What am I to do? Pay attention to the teachings. Look at it again. Look at 2:42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, even in
fellowship.
So listen, the apostles' doctrine. Listen, so if you follow the apostles, let me teach it in another way. If you follow the apostles' doctrine, what will it lead you to?
Fellowship.
Amen. How do I know that I'm feeding right? I know that I'm feeding right because I have that thing I want to
fellowship.
I want to
fellowship.
That is why the psalmist will say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the
Lord.
What is the first symptom that you should actually take note of? That thing that doesn't want you to fellowship.
Amen.
Meaning that one of the ways, one of the symptoms of lack of being in God's word is that you will not want to
pray.
It's like you will not want to. I'm saying, the Bible says all they did was pay attention to the apostles' doctrine. We see there that it leads to
fellowship.
What else is there? Breaking. Are we there? Breaking off. So there is something about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that gets us feasting together. Amen. Living. So it is not that. Don't let me say that, but I'll say that. You know that thing that makes you just want to come to church, hear God's word, and run away. I don't relate to anybody. It's not of God. Amen. What should we trace it back to? There is something in this person that has not imbibed the apostles' doctrine. Amen. There is something about our gospel that is heavy on fellowship. There is something about our gospel that is heavy on fellowship. How do we know? This man tells us when people got saved, what we see is that they gave themselves to the apostles. Praise God. What else does the doctrine lead to if you have been fishing on the doctrine? Is there? What else? What does the doctrine lead to?
Praise
the Lord. No. Is there, look at Acts 2, verse 42. After breaking of bread, after breaking of bread, what?
Prayers.
So, if you are reading the gospel, you are hearing the message, what does the message and the gospel get you doing?
Pray.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am saying to you, that a person that devotes himself to the apostles' doctrine, said that man is a prayer man. How do you know you are not feasting?
You're not praying.
Because the message, it is just there. 3,000 men don't know anything about God. But all they do is that they focus on the apostles' doctrine. They then just start realizing, there is something in me that still doesn't want to stay around. There is something in me that wants us to eat together and talk together. And like I said to you, the word of knowledge, if we practice well, word of knowledge should be something we use outside. Amongst us, we should have knowledge that is transferred from one another because we fellowship. Brother Tommy should not come and say, oh, Pastor D has a need for 4,000 pounds. We should have fellowship. Are you getting the point? We should have fellowship enough.
Amen.
That we are able to look at and say, you know what? Sister Rebecca is a believer.
Amen.
We use word of knowledge. Where do we use it? Outside. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise God. Imagine now, we are together. Right? We came from the same house. While we were coming to church, you say, oh, I have 100 pounds in my account. Imagine during service, I now come up and say, there's somebody here with 100 pounds in my account. How did I know? I know because you told me. So it should not be new revelation. Amen.
Amen.
Because there is what? There is fellowship. The message that we have received is a message of love that gets us to fellowship. It gets us to eat together. Don't say, Father, it's not July, it's summer. You're trying to tell us that summer feast is coming. No. The point is, even in winter, Amen. Even in winter, we should do what? Break bread, fellowship. What do those things do? We're able to interact.
That's right.
Know what's going on. As we are together, we know in what direction we pray. Mm. Most of us, what we use the gift of the Spirit for is the proof that we are in a relationship with another person.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. Okay, amen. Look at it. It says, and prayer. So they will focus on the doctrine. The doctrine will lead them to fellowship. As they are fellowshipping, what do they end up in?
Prayer.
Why? Because in fellowship, we commune one with another, we get direction.
Mm.
Praise God. In fellowship, we commune one with another, we get direction.
Amen.
But where does it start off from? The apostles' doctrine. So they will have been reading, the apostles. Love, 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 care, time, grace, faith. It will be one accord. Okay, we want to stay together. We want to stay. Where did they learn? Okay. Alright. Look at verse 43. What else happens when I hearken to the apostles' doctrine? It is in verse 43.
Many times I don't know that.
No. So that we are correct. So that we are clear. He is correct, but in my teaching slide in my head, he is not yet correct. Because there is something that should come first. So what should come first? And fear. So what happens when the word of God, the apostles' doctrine, is said by a group of people consistently in devotion? A reverence for God is claimed. Amen?
Amen.
It is not anything. That is why it was strange for Ananias and Sapphira to want to lie. Because what happened to what happened to Ananias and Sapphira really? Someone tell me, you have been listening for 15 minutes enough already. Why would Ananias and Sapphira lie? They were not fellowship. No, okay, let's be real. They were not feasting on the apostles'
doctrine.
They were not
fellowshipping.
They were not
praying.
So what happens? They can do what they wanted to do. Why? Because one of the proofs of fellowshipping in the apostles' doctrine and fellowshipping one with another is there is just a reverence, a honor for Jesus. Amen. It's not anybody talking about, and you can go, okay, let me say this to you. You don't know how they say things like fear God.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the doctrine that gets you there.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The doctrine, the doctrine of Christ gets you to reverence Him. He says the fear of God, so you can do a litmus test. He says the fear of God came on every soul. How many people?
Every.
So is it something that was taught or something that was experienced? It was experienced because the believers, amen. The believers focused on the word, amen. Okay.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Then let's get to Bartholomew's point. What is the next thing we see when saints together? Fellowshipping together.
That's right.
What is the next thing that we see happening to them after fear comes on them? Many signs and wonders. What will happen when we all fellowship, we get into the apostles' doctrine, fellowship one with another, pray? What will happen? Church, what will happen? There will be reverence. What else will happen? Signs and wonders. Let me say something. Who determines signs and wonders in a local church? The saints. You will have thought it's God. But it says it there. If you follow the order, it says, number one, they started with doctrine. They continued in fellowship. That's what doctrine will do. They ate together, breaking of bread. The next thing we see there is that they now are praying. Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
The next thing that happens is this dimension gets them into a reverence. There is just a reverence on the lives of men. Men are living sanctified, set apart, committed life unto God that is a fruit of the gospel, a fruit of fellowship, a fruit of breaking bread together, right? A fruit of prayer. He now says, what else comes in that fraternity? Signs and wonders becomes normal. Amen?
Amen.
What is the emphasis? The apostle's doctrine. So when I give myself to the doctrine, to the teaching, to the message of the gospel, what am I doing? I am doing all of these things because all of these things become a fruit. Amen?
Amen.
They become a fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 44. So, how do I commit myself in a local church to see signs and wonders happen? You can't miss it. I give myself to the apostles'
doctrine.
So if we all give ourselves to the teaching, we all will see a need to fellowship one with another. Mm-hmm. You know, we have been saying for the last 3 weeks that it's Sister Victoria's life, our business.
Yeah.
And what do we say? That's the teaching. So you should arise and say, the doctrine is getting me to see that Sister Victoria is my business.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Church, amen.
Yeah.
Fellowship. Then before long, you should have said, Sister Victoria, when am I coming to visit you?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, we should not be picking my word of knowledge that she's good with jollof rice.
Amen.
Church, amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We should not be picking it by word of knowledge. You don't be smelling in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's from fellowship. She'll say there is this jollof rice that I do. When I do this thing, even Brother Toby in the prayer room comes out with this. That's not, you should not be picking this by the Holy Ghost. You should be picking this by fellowship.
Yes.
Amen. That's it. See, this is supernatural church.
Supernatural.
Yes. This is what God ordained. Imagine this is happening amongst us and we dare not take it out during our week. Man, so the love of God is palpable. John 3:35 says, 34:35, how did they know that you are my disciples? He says that how you love one another. Where will it come from? It's not from the doctrine saying, I love that person, I love that Benga. No. It's from him staying with the doctrine. Amen?
Sir.
The doctrine will push you to fellowship.
Sir.
That's what I'm saying. It will push you to breaking bread. Hallelujah. The doctrine by itself will push you to pray. You cannot say you are interested in another person and you know what the doctrine has taught you prayer. You see that let us push Sister Simi's life by prayer. That's how it happens. Or in fellowship, you hear that they bring a burden your way. Then you would say, I will pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 4. Just meeting, staying in the apostles' doctrine, what it can do for a people. Look at verse 4. And they that all believe were
together
and had all things in
common.
Now, the idea here is one accord. He's now giving you an example of one accord that they had all things together. Their mindset was together. To the point that, you know, I told you. He says, and sold their possession and goods. How did they know that there was a need in the church? Don't miss it. Fellowship! Praise God! So someone will hear that there's a need in someone's life and then go home and be talking to his wife. What will I do? My wife says that I always say, what will I? And I still mean, what will we? What will we do about this thing? Praise God. That's what's happening here. He's telling you the modus operandi. In fellowship, I know what's going on. You know, sometimes the answer to those prayer points is not far away. It's you. Sometimes it will take sacrifice, but it's still you. Amen. Church, amen. If it's still you, it takes sacrifice, but it's you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And all that believe were together and had all things in common and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all. So they knew. Fire. Say local church.
Local church.
My business, your business.
My business.
Did you know they did not say, he doesn't have, he's not one of us. He doesn't have. He's not fit to be a deacon. He doesn't have. He's not spiritual. They didn't say, you did not confess to contend, to pretend. That's why you don't have material wealth. He didn't say that. What did they say when they knew people had need? They saw it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It happens many times in the book of Acts. In Acts 11, Apostle Barnabas goes to a church in Antioch and says there will be a famine. You know, he didn't say there is people will be broke in Judea. You know, someone can come and say a bad time is coming.
Yeah.
And he didn't say, you guys, a bad time is coming for you because you didn't give a dangerous seed. No. He said, now I'm not even talking about giving later. He says a bad time is coming. And he left. The pastor came, Paul, the pastor of Antioch, they collected an offering for Judea. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes we say we are spiritual, but the spiritual thing we need to do is to be practical. Amen.
Amen.
Someone has not eaten. Our prayer should lead us to Sister Victoria out of the Jollof Rice.
Amen.
Amen. Church, amen. Ah, you are not liking this message. I mean, someone has not eaten. In that someone has not eaten, we don't just say, thank you, brother, sugar, brother, you shall see rice. No. The you shall see rice should be, there is a bag of rice in Sister Victoria's house that has been converted through heat and skin to jollof rice. That portion shall be yours. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Local church. He says there, verse 25, and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all and every man that had needs. Verse 26. Was it a season or was it a lifestyle? Look at it. And they continued, daily with one accord. What does the message produce? Fellowship? Breaking of bread together? Prayer? There's a reverence on all. The supernatural is clearly seen. Men are walking in one accord. We were to the point that when people have needs, people around are the one that needs it.
Mm.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, today people always say, I don't want my business out there.
Yeah.
Bro, you are actually out of sync with apostolic doctrine. Say, no, I don't want to. Look at it again. I want you to see it for yourself. Say, no, you know, but the Bible says you're not blessed to give that to this. I know, but at the moment now. Say, at the moment now.
Amen.
You need, you know, at some times in life, you need to receive.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hey, praise God. Remember that there are some times you should give.
Yeah.
And there are some times you should receive.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, he says, in verse 5, and it's all Bible. And sold their possession and parted them to all that had need. How did they know? They knew because it was fellowship. So the person that had a need had a place he could go to say, I have a need. The people will hear, there is a need, and say, what shall we do? Somebody will say, I will sell my land. Another will say, I will sell my goat. Another will say, I will sell my angel. Another will say, I will sell my wife. I will sell, amen. People were just selling things, praise God. So as they were selling things, that is where Ananias and Sapphira heard that people. You know, because there are some things that the doctrine gets you to do. If you are not in doctrine and you try to do it, you will misbehave.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That was the whole mystery of Ananias and Sapphira. If you are not in apostles' doctrine, you see someone come and says, I am giving my car, go and sell it for the work of ministry. You will want to do it. Amen. You want to do it, but you will not connive with your wife. That's it. Why? But the apostle, do you know what the apostle doesn't get you to do? Even though it's sacrificial, there is joy.
Mm.
There is excitement. Because it is the doctrine that is pushing you. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Did you notice that these people sold their... If you know Israel, if you know Israel and the way land is, you know you can follow people's lineage by the land that was given to them by their forefathers.
Yes.
So to sell your land is not, it's bigger than selling a Maserati or a house here. Because your land is, in fact, according to the law of Moses, if you sell your land after 15 years, they should return it to you in the year of Jubilee. So your land is not from small, it's not from, that's proper real estate. So for you to say you are selling your land, it's something that is pushing you, and it's not normal. It's not, you know, this is our idea of manipulation. If you don't go to. No, this is revelation of the love of God for my brother. Get me to take something, and then meet their need. Listen carefully. The doctrine of Christ will kill greed.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you notice that in verse 46, they continue dealing with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house? Are you noticing that the Bible is talking about a communion among saints that is quite strange? Breaking bread from house to house. Not that begin to see Jesus come to his house on day 5. Begins to see him and say, they've come again. Especially that Rebecca. When it's time to eat, the bread she takes. No, it was doctrine. So listen, husband, ensure that feeding on the wife, word. Wife, be feeding on the word. If not, you fight over spiritual things. Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
So, husband, what do you do in that place? Be an example. When you are praying, let them know you are praying so that they will know that prayer is real. When you are reading the Bible, let it in your household. I'm not saying that God faith, not saying now I want to read my Bible. No, I'm saying at home. Praise God. At home, be an example. Why? Because if you are not growing together, one will hamper the other. And the other person that is not growing will be legitimately wrong right in marriage, because people are judged at the level of their knowledge. Amen. Church,
amen.
People are judged where? At the level of their So it is important that your spouse is growing. If your spouse is not growing, be an obvious example and pray. Amen.
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 All right, look at that there. He says there, and they continue dealing with one according to the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart? Was there any offense to come? Happy people. Joyful people. Look at that. You know, after you give your life, people say that's a deep offering. You know, after some deep offering, they say, maybe you leave church for 2 weeks to cool down. Because you are giving more than your kidney. No, the Bible says, you see this guy, they are praising God. Praise God. Imagine you clear your account. You know, for some people, I will talk about myself. There was a time I was in university, my pastor and the pastor was, we wanted to do something. So, he said, he called for an offering. And he called all his leaders. He called all his leaders. And he said, as leaders, you're going to start off in the giving. That's how he said. He said, you know what? The way we need to do this thing, you give your phone. Now, with all due respect, everybody had a normal phone, but my parents just came back from the UK. They just gave me a Nokia 3310.
Oh, wow.
That phone, and my mom, when she was giving it to me, was like eternal, like, you lose it, don't come back home.
Yeah.
And I'm in church. They said there's a need that I should give it. And I'm like next in line with the throne spiritually. Hey God! When I gave the offering, everybody says, sorry. I said, I gave the Nokia. I was already thinking, okay, I won't go home. I'm not even here. I'm not going to go home for weeks. What will I say? So I sat down. In the meeting, after giving the offering, I sat down. It was like, sorry, sorry. I said, yes, thank you. It was, kind of everybody, after everybody knew that Pastor, I was giving his phone. No, this one, after dropping it, glory to God, glory to God. And it was genuine. I'm saying the one in the Bible, not me. Praise God. When it was me, if I could weep, I'll weep. After, in this ministry, I was even coming, I said, sit down, mom. He said, you are dropping four. I was like, sergeant. you think you are giving a seat? In my mind, all in my mind. And everybody was saying, that's an example. Remember, that one is going there now. He's going to go and your phone arrows removed. Keypad. In all in my mind. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about revelation, betting fellowship, genuine concern, betting prayer, betting the reverence, betting signs and wonders, betting one accord that was clear that if it was my phone that is needed for this phone to be okay, it's a small thing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What is the point? Brother, take it to doctrine. When you don't, you do more harm than good. Amen.
Amen.
take you to Bible study. When you don't, you do more harm than good. It looks like nothing is happening, but it's showing us here from verse 22 what happens when everyone does this. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've made my first point, I'm going to my second point. Now, the truth about it is, when it comes to local church and spiritual things, please understand that God deals with you at your level. What God says to you is dependent on how grown you are. Amen?
Amen.
What you say to people is dependent. You know, like I can come and I start talking apocalypses for some people to pray about their head in this local church. So I don't do that. The point is, you must communicate at the level of people's understanding. The point is, God communicates with you at the level of your understanding. The point is, if you want to actually know more of God, brother, grow. Amen?
Amen.
Do you speak simultaneous equation with Isaac? How about quadratic? No, maybe further maths. Who doesn't want you to know further maths? You want you to know further maths. Don't we know you didn't really like books? Amen. You want to know it. Praise God. But he won't talk to him at that level. You say, hey, but with him, what will you say? A for B for. But I'm still trying to get that thing. What I mean? They say, what's your name? B, L, L, A. They say, no, say the other one. B for banana. They say, no, not that one. They say, what's B again? B for.
Bravo.
Yeah, maybe. No, no way. My name is Bratu Ben. Same group. I know he has not known it too. Amen. You are laughing. Uncle John. Yeah, the same group too. See for Kayana. No. Amen. Praise God. Alright. We're going to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and 2. See something. I'm still emphasizing, brother, in the local church, grow. Are you in verse 1? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto church, as unto speak. So it says, how I speak is dependent on the level of your growth. It's important. Level of your growth. I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto canal, but as unto babes in
Christ.
He spoke to them as babes in. So, Paul, you might see the book of Corinthians as a deep book. It is. But Paul is still saying, I spoke to them as babies. I spoke to them as what?
Babies.
So, it's like, so, the, don't let me say it so you don't cut it. But look at, I was speaking to Isaac. That's what Paul said in the Corinthian church. How do we know babies? So my point in this teaching is, give yourself to the apostles. That is how you aid the local church. All that things will follow.
Amen.
Look at it in verse 2. It says, I have fed you with milk. You know somebody coming to the, is the word of God, is holy and reverent. Someone says, this Corinthians is a very deep book. Paul said, I've fed you with
milk
and not with meat. Why? You are not able to take it. Neither are you yet able. You know, there's some things that we say. You know, I was talking to example about 7 years ago. And he said, Pastor, I feel like I know all that there is, knowing the things of God. I said, bro, I'm not doing this show with you. I've not even entered into, I'm just talking about grace and faith. In the elementary, you say you have what it takes to take over the world. Because I told you that grace and the law. I said, relax. You need to grow so that we can give you more. If not, you are constipated. Praise God. So look at it now. He says, for ye are yet, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. What was the thing that made Paul know that the saints in Corinthians were still carnal? It's in verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, wherefore there is amongst you envy and strife and division. He says, are you not yet carnal, walking as
men?
No. I don't know if it's you are using a good Bible. If you are using a good Bible, you say walking as meaning. Who is that person using a good Bible? Meaning. Anybody with a good Bible walking as meaning?
Yes.
Why do I use the adjective meaning? It's trying to say you are supernatural. But the moment envy and strife is amongst you, there are some things I can't tell, I don't get it. It's not, you can't get it. Say, I won't talk to this one again. This one is my enemy. Say, I can't talk to you. You are still fighting each other. I can't tell you about deeper things. You are still angry with somebody. You are still in factions. And for Paul and for Apollos. No, I can't tell you anything. Amen. Why? Because the truth about it is that our service to God, listen, must be devoid of some things. Anger, bitterness. Why? Because anger, bitterness, offense deals with our fellowshipping with one another. So if you have been following the apostle's doctrine and you have been fellowshipping and it has been leading you to prayer, Paul is saying it won't get you to strife, bitterness, and anger. So it's clear you have not been following the apostle's doctrine. I can officially in blueprint call you a baby. How do I deal with strife, bitterness, anger, and anger? Pay attention to the apostles' doctrine. Okay? Because you know it's so crucial that this thing that looks like you, it says envy, strife. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 5:23. People don't, I can be angry with somebody and say, no, you are not digging well if you are in strife and anger. Look at Matthew 5. Even though you are digging all the digging that can be digging, you are not digging well if it's in strife. Look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, are you there, verse 23? Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, how many people are givers in the local church? Now I want to see your hands up. You are givers in the local church? Yeah?
Yeah.
This one is for you. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift, are you here? To the altar, and you remember. Are you saying that there are some things God prioritizes over your giving? Let me say better. There is giving and there is the attitude in giving. There are some things that you will do. In doing it, we will say you a baby. He says, if you notice, you know, you understand that there is somebody you're fighting with and you bring an offering as you remember. Because in those days, they carry their offering. Like, and you know, offering will be goats. Amen. Bull. Amen.
Amen.
He says, as you are carrying that bull for sacrifice, and you remember that there is somebody, think about it. They used to travel from wherever they are. Imagine some of us are in the UK. We are going for fellowship. Fellowship is always in Jerusalem. So we all are going for fellowship. All of us are going. Everybody has carried their boat on BA. We have entered, we have landed in Israel with our boats. And as we are going, Brother Sodiq remembers around Tel Aviv that he is fighting Uncle John. Or Uncle John says something he don't like. The Bible says at Tel Aviv. That's what I'm telling you. You must understand our kingdom. You say, they need these goats. God doesn't need the goats. God needs you with the right heart. It is with the right heart that you give the goat that it makes sense. He says at Tel Aviv, he is to say, Pastor D, I have to go back to London. So why you go back to London? I need to see, number one, Uncle John is meant to be here. He's not here. If he was here with us in Tel Aviv, we would have said to him, now I have to travel back. You know there was no phone call that those days. Don't worry, I'll say it's online reconciliation. No, he will leave his goods. Don't say about that. If you read the book of Acts, you realize that when on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they came from different places. The different places. Yeah. You will leave your book, you will leave the thing there. So you they can talk to them. So they will say, they can do like, this goat, hold it for me here. I want to quickly get to London, sort out the issue with brother, and then I'll come back. Why? He has been trained in the fear of God to know that when it comes to strife and envy, It must never be accommodated around us. Amen. That's what Jesus is teaching. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Church, praise the Lord. Yeah, so we are givers. But how we give is a way. There's a way that we give.
Yes, sir.
You can't be fighting daddy and fighting mommy and you're the biggest giver in the church. You're wasting time. When you say will not, I'm not saying the giver will not account it in the accounting. I am saying in the record book of Jesus, you are wasting time. Amen. You are not liking this message.
We do.
He says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. But as unto, because you cannot bear it. See, the moment there's envy and strife, let's face it, because there is nothing else. You can't pick any other. It's God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Jesus now says his own. He says, you will have a gift to give. He's giving proper.
Yes.
He's giving right.
Yes.
He's giving necessary.
Yes.
He's giving important. He says, stop it. Go back and take it. Amen.
Amen.
You know, listen. Somebody, Pastor, what if he doesn't want to say? The Bible says in the book of Romans 14, as long as it is up to you. Look at Romans 14. Oh, as long as it's up to you. Romans 14, I want you to be there. Sorry, did I say 14? It should be 12. Are you in verse 18? Romans 12, 18. If it be as much as lieth in you, live. So, we are not saying that Uncle John must be fine with Sadiq. We are saying that Sadiq must be fine with who?
Uncle John.
As it lies in you. So, meaning that after you realize that you are battling with something in your hand, your heart concerning Uncle John, you leave the offering. Okay, you cannot give it to Uncle John now. I've taught you before. What do you do?
Pray.
On your journey to him, you are praying. I'm saying, super. Why? The thing we cannot accommodate around us is strife.
Yeah.
And while giving is such a big deal, people don't really emphasize how big this one is. The love of God is the driver of anything that we do. That's why Paul will say, if you give your body to be burned and have not love, he says you're a clanging cymbal. Is it all coming together for us? Is it all coming together for us? So are we givers?
Yeah.
But do we give rightly? So do we give rightly?
Yeah.
What is giving rightly? We give joyfully, excitedly, without offense in our heart towards anybody. Amen. Church, amen. And if there's offense in your heart towards anybody, go and ensure you sort it as long as it's up to you. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you can come to and say, I forgive you. Very well. You forgive. Who should be forgiving who? You have said your own. Amen. Praise God. Church, praise God. Yeah. We are givers. Why am I? Because people are big on giving. But the point is, you should be bigger on the fact that you gave in love. Because Jesus said, pause. Amen. Just pause and sort this out. Because there is a way we give. We are not mere men. We don't give with envy. We don't give with strife. We don't give with bitterness. We don't give. Amen. Praise God. So even while we are on the topic of giving, how many people know that when we give from our hearts? Amen. Church, we give
from our hearts.
He says, if there be a willing heart, it is acceptable.
Yeah.
Amen. That is why the apostles' doctrine, get your heart in the right place to be a giver. Amen. Church, amen. A willing heart. You know, you should be coming to church with offering, saying, Father, I give you thanks for the opportunity to give. Not, hey, God. Hey, I've been paid again now. 300 will soon go. 800 will go. You should talk like that. It shows you are not in the apostles' doctrine as you ought to. See, there are symptoms of spiritual looseness. Amen. I mean, someone saved your life. Praise God. That's why I don't enter this debate of fighting with anybody, and I will never win. Because for me, I'm talking about, I don't understand. Somebody saved my life. I was going to hell. You're not saying, and should I not? I'll be joking. Well, you say we have B. Before B, Christ came.
Yes.
So Christ is number one in my life.
Come on.
And I don't need, if he never does anything again for me, I don't know.
Yes.
So why are we arguing?
Yes.
Praise God. Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Very simple. It's not all, you know, the New Testament, Old Testament. The truth about it is that the man who has been rescued from darkness,
yes,
the doctrine teaches him to be a giver. And he gives excitedly like God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
you. You know, in the Old Testament, how did Jesus feed them to give? I know I'm moving to you. You know, he said to them in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, when you are coming with your offering, this is what you should say. Father, I bring my offering to you. I remember that I was once a slave in Egypt, but you rescued me and delivered me. Here I am now. I have brought something as a recognition of my heart. The offering was not for God to make God happy. It is you. So you give for your sake.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. He says, I am saying thank you for all. That is what, how he said, if you read through me, how he taught them to give. He said, say this thing before you give. How to give. He said, I want to say thank you. You rescued me from bondage. I was once in Egypt. Now you have brought us into the land. Thank you so much. I am bringing this as a recognition of that which you have done. You know, these people are arguing. Praise God.
Yeah.
Church, praise God. So do we give? Yes. And while we are on it, learn to have a budget. If you don't have a budget, you'll be at the whim and caprices of emotions. Just look at it today. The Indonesian can say, as we are like this, up and down, the whole grace range, there's only £2 that is there. Yeah! Let's give £1,000. You shouldn't be like that, actually. You don't need to know the needs around the place to be a giver that the doctrine pushes you to. Amen? Church, amen?
Amen!
Praise God!
Hallelujah!
It is something that comes from within,
yes,
that the doctrine does to you.
Come on.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's it. And you are, that's why I said, redemption is the key to proper action in this kingdom. If you forget that you have been saved, you will be stingy. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, and while we are on it, giving, why do we give? It's honor for God. Why do we give?
Honor.
That's what it is. Honor for God. Honor. Honor. I honor you. You know where we are coming from? How do we give? We don't give with strife. There's also another how we give. We he said if it is accepted, if it is from a willing heart. So the heart that is willing is the heart that says, Lord, I honor you. I thank you. I thank you for all that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's it. Praise God.
Yeah.
Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I've talked to the left, I've talked to the right. While giving is a big deal, we have said if you don't give in love, you are wasting your time. What did Jesus say? Stop. Amen.
Amen.
What did he say?
Stop.
Learn to stop when there's strife. Anything kingdom, learn to stop. God is interested more in the fact that you clear things first. Amen. Say, no, I'm fine with everybody in the local church. Okay, are you fine with your brother, your sister, your auntie, your cousin, the boyfriend that cheated you? You are married now. You are married now, but you are still angry. Stop. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Follow peace. You don't say follow peace with all men except the ex. No. Follow peace with all men. As long as it's up to you. You know that some people here, what you have done to women or men, you should call the parents and say, I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I took your money, I paid your heart. You should, if not, you're just coming here, you're taking our money, you're dropping money, you're just losing your time. Amen? If someone said, you hurt me, say, that's dead. No, it's not dead. Amen? Say, hello, the way I banged the phone on you, that made you now become wayward, I didn't mean it.
Jesus.
You know, you know, if you don't hear teaching like this, that's why people like teaching on restitution. I'm telling you, I am saying that the Bible says follow peace with all men. If it comes to your heart that you offended somebody, go call the person, sort it out. Praise God. That's the doctrine working. Can I get a believer? Amen.
Yeah.
Can I give an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's continue as we start to conclude. Finally, the last thing I wanted to say to you about the apostles' doctrine, which is the same thing I've been saying, that everyone's life is connected. As like our catchphrase, Sister Victoria's life is mother to us. Yes. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as we conclude in this service. Verse 1. Take it. Hey, God. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Are you there?
Yes.
Listen to these strange thoughts from Peter and Paul. It's a strange thought. But I want you to follow me. In the fact that God, see, your local church and the people there, God really needs you to do more than Sunday with them. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 5, 1. It is reported what? Commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication that is not named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, listen carefully. It was clear that there was fornication in the church. There was a peculiar brother that was with his stepmother. Listen, who does Paul first blame? Stop. You will have thought Paul will say, how dare you? You know, how dare you fornicate with your father's wife? Who does he point to? Look at verse 2. I am trying to tell you that supernatural thought is strange. Look at verse 2. He says, and ye are puffed up. He says, and ye have not rather known. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from you. Stop. Wait. Chloe. Are you following it? I'm laughing. Chloe went to Paul and told Paul that there is something happening in church. A particular situation is, you know, she's specific. How did he know? Chloe told him that someone has taken the father's wife. When he will write back, who does Paul point to first? Is it the church? You want the United Way to raise defense? No. This is everybody. That's not what he says. You are puffed up. How? You know, even your silence can be proud. Can be pride. Get it? You are puffed up, and you have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed may be taken away from you. What is he saying? He's saying that if the church should notice something that is wrong, there should be a corporate reaction. Amen? A corporate reaction. So, meaning that you knew about it. You did something about it individually. Because you knew about it. But what did the church in Corinth do? Everybody did nothing. What did Paul call it? Puffed up. Are you saying that Sister Victoria's life is your life? Your business, your business. You know, in these are days, you say, it's my life. Why are you interfering? Praise God. Praise God. He said, you should rather mourn. So he said, there should be, you should be sober and unhappy about it. That the brother will know that what he's doing is not proper. Amen. Let me say it this way. Because they lived together, did everything together, the moment we are not happy with what somebody is doing, the person should notice in the way that we say, that thing is not right. But you know, because we don't fellowship together, we might actually try to practice what Paul said. The person might not know in 4 months. Is that like he doesn't come to church enough? Or we don't fellowship enough? Amen. Because he said, from our temperament, our character, the person will know that what you are doing is wrong. Let's read it again. You have been puffed up. You did not grieve. That's the root word was grieve. Meaning that you hear it in prayer, you start to cry. What's going on? You two, you're not happy. What's going on? Look at what that guy is doing. But it was business as usual. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Amen.
Amen.
Someone is not coming to church, or you get to know maybe someone is not doing something he's meant to do. You know, it's their business. That's them. When Paul will write, Paul will say, you are proud. Hallelujah. Is Sister Victoria's business our business? Yeah. Because when Paul will judge, he calls you proud. That thing that says you should be silent, Paul, that thing that say, don't say anything, Paul calls you pride. He says, you have puffed up. You have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed will be taken away from you. Do you know that there's a way that we can stand against wrongdoing, that the way that is doing the wrongdoing will be uncomfortable? Amen? Amen? It will be what? Uncomfortable. And yes. Praise God. He says, for I verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, I have judged already. As if I was present. Look at verse 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered, when you are gathered, how do we judge? When we are gathered, so if we don't gather together, how are we able to practice apostolic doctrine that will make a brother who that thing did wrong? Amen. Look at it. He says, we are gathered together, and my spirit, the power of Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, to church, follow me, to deliver such one unto. Come on, talk to me. You are to deliver such one unto for the destruction of the that the spirit that is said in the day of the Lord Jesus. You are to deliver him unto. Talk to me. Deliver him unto. At least read before I explain it. Read what you saw. You are to deliver him to Satan. Now stop. This that you see here is one of the advantages of reading the Bible sometimes in the Greek. The word Satan is a Greek word actually that means against. Amen?
Amen.
Satan actually means against. So, right, if we want to go out that door, and start to try to the door, I'm going to say it, but I'm explaining. Because she's against you coming out, she's a Satan. Satan actually just means against. Adversary, opposition. Amen. Praise God. But now, because the devil is the Christian's opposition, when it is being translated, in most places they are talking about the devil, you see the word Satan being used. Amen. Church, amen. So let us explain. It says, deliver such a one unto Satan. What does that mean? It means, listen please, it means let this person know that you are against what the person is doing. So who should be the Satan of the brother who is living with his father's wife? Who should be the Satan? The saints. Amen. So he says, deliver him unto opposition. Praise the Lord. Deliver him unto what? Opposition. Let him know that what he's doing is wrong. Don't allow what he's doing try. Amen. Church, look at it. Amen. Deliver him unto opposition. So what is the church? What should the church have done? So the church is not a place where we can say, you know what? Well, it's not my business. It is business. No. Chloe will tell Paul. Everyone has a church. You say, no, that's wrong. Praise God. Praise God. That's wrong. You deliver it. Again, we are not for this. We don't stand for this. And it must be what? Clear. It should be clear to the brother. What does that mean? It means that if there was a fellowship, let me give an example. If there was a fellowship, and the brother was maybe leading the fellowship. If the brother was leading the fellowship, and we hear this about him, what should we do? We should let him know that what he is doing or what he's saying is wrong. And we should ensure that we step him down from leadership so that he is not a wrong influence. That's why the next verse says, do you not know that the little living in the law? So the point is, if you do not stand against it, people will see. see his action and think that it is the right action. What's my point? God relies on you and I to judge rightly. Amen?
Amen.
Is it your business? Yes. God relies on you and I to judge rightly. So when the man realizes that, you know what? In fact, in the book of Thessalonians, it says, with that man, do not eat. You know, we said we fellowship together. It also says with that man, don't eat. What is the man supposed to feel? Because the man is part of family. Family is a big deal to him. Family is a big deal to him. Love is a big deal to him. We're not saying no. With this particular love feast, we are intentionally not inviting you. It's not mystery. We just want you to know that sleeping with your father's wife is not something that we condone. So there's a love feast, but we are not inviting you. Amen.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not working in grace, I'm not working in love. No, it is so that every Joe and everybody you know, I'm going to that publicly he was sleeping with his father's wife. So should the two others, everybody know publicly that he's rejected?
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll say, so that it's clear, this person is being left out of this action because of what he's doing. What is the intent? Because fellowship is strong, this should rebuke the brother. Amen.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying to you that if fellowship is not strong, if we say, we're having love feast, am I not inviting you? What will he say? Yeah, it is what it means. Amen. But if we are a family into one another, he will see like what is life? I will not be at the grace raised fellowship because of this thing I'm doing. Then it's not worth it. This fellowship means so much to me, more than this issue. The Bible will say, we stand as Satan unto him to deliver you from that. So what are we supposed to use to deliver brethren from sin sometimes is opposition. But opposition that comes from fellowship. But if fellowship is not strong, opposition will be a waste of time. Because if you don't play with me, I'll play with another person. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And fellowship is supposed to be something we use to teach. So that comes there. No. I ain't doing this anymore. The Bible did not say, don't allow the person to come to church. Amen. The Bible says, deliver him from opposition. Opposition will be when we are doing things, love is not something. Why? Because we must always ensure that the man, that is erring has an opportunity to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Because that's the only thing that will change his life. But when he says, but with fellowship, with such a person, do not eat. Why? So that he doesn't, when we are eating and talking, you not start saying, you don't believe it. Last week, I was my father's wife. You not say, really? Influence. So with such a person, you don't fraternize. Praise the Lord. I said all of these things so basic to say, when it comes to our Christianity, it's other people minded. God judges us in what we do with our brother. God sees it that if our brother is erring and we know and we don't do anything, we are judged first. Why? Because that is what love does. A man errs. The church did nothing. Paul rebuilds the church first. It is in 1 Corinthians 6, he starts telling the person that committed fornication, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? What's my point? You are heirs of the Father. You are joint heirs with the Son. You are children of this kingdom. You are family. You are one. Rise upon your feet. Rise upon your feet. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son.